Welcome to By the Lyric. My name is Lisa, and By the Lyric is the show where I take songs that I think have interesting lyrics and do a deep dive analysis on what they mean, what the artist is trying to say, and if there's any research to be done there and learn something. So today we are looking at Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. Now, personally, I'm a little embarrassed to say that although the name sounded very familiar to me up until today, I didn't really know or could put a face to who exactly Gordon Lightfoot was, nor a song or his impact or anything really. So let's all learn about who Gordon Lightfoot is, actually, not was. So Gordon Meredith Lightfoot Jr. was born November 17th, 1938, and he is a Canadian singer-songwriter who achieved international success in folk, folk rock, and country music. He is credited with helping to define the folk pop sound of the 1960s and 1970s. He is often referred to as Canada's greatest songwriter and is known internationally as a folk rock legend. Lightfoot's songs including For Lovin' Me, Early Mornin' Rain, Steel Rail Blues, Ribbon in Darkness, a number one hit in the U.S. country chart with Marty Robbins' cover in 1965, and Black Day in July, which was written about the 1967 Detroit riot, brought him wide recognition in the 1960s. Canadian chart success with his own recordings began in 1962 with the number three hit, Remember Me, I'm the One, followed by recognition and charting abroad in the 1970s. He topped the U.S. Hot 100 and or AC chart with the hits If You Could Read My Mind in 1970, Sundown in 1974, Carefree Highway in 1974, Rainy Day People in 1975, and The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald from 1976, which is what we're looking at today. So just before we get into the actual song of The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald, I kind of just wanted to remind you, I'm sure you've heard these songs before. I've heard them before. I just didn't know who had written or was singing them. And they are classic Canadian heritage pieces, I would say. So let's just take a few minutes and enjoy Gordon Lightfoot's Sundown and his other song, If You Could Read My Mind. Goodness, such a peaceful, calming song. I just want to listen to that track over and over again. That was Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind, the original version. I mean, this is a world-renowned song. I love this song. I didn't know it was Gordon Lightfoot. I didn't know it was a Canadian artist, national treasure of ours. Definitely perfect vibes for a after storm kind of day where, you know, there's midterms going on and assignments being handed in and there's stress everywhere, just to sit and listen to this. I wouldn't even categorize it as folk or country. Maybe it is a little folky, but like the one word that comes to mind when I hear these songs by Gordon Lightfoot is wholesome. It's just very wholesome and very peaceful, and it makes me feel very calm. Anyways, I guess we should get back to the song on hand, which we actually haven't heard yet, and that's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. So, just a little bit more about Lightfoot's achievements. His albums achieved gold and multi-platinum status internationally, and his songs have been recorded by world-renowned artists such as Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams Jr., who we talked about in an earlier episode, The Kingston Trio, Marty Robbins, Jerry Lee Lewis, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Barbara Streisand, Johnny Mathis, Herb Alpert, Harry Belafonte, Scott Walker, Sarah McLachlan, obviously, Eric Clapton, John Mellencamp, Jack Jones, Bobby V, Roger Whittaker, Tony Rice, Peter, Paul and Mary, Glenn Campbell, The Irish Rovers, Nico, Olivia Newton-John, Paul Weller, 9 Pound Hammer, Ultra Natte, The Tragically Hip, and The Unintended. So we can see Gordy here has had a huge impact on music and the music industry and the development of the genre and style. Robbie Robertson of the band described Lightfoot as a national treasure. I think we can all agree. Bob Dylan, also a Lightfoot fan, called him one of his favorite songwriters and an often quoted tribute. Dylan observed that when he heard a Lightfoot song, he wished it would last forever. Literally, that's exactly how I was feeling listening to Sundown and If You Could Read My Mind. Lightfoot was a featured musical performer at the opening ceremonies of the 1988 Winter Olympic Games in Calgary, Alberta. He received an honorary Doctor of Laws degree in arts in 1979 and the Companion of the Order of Canada in 2003. In November 1997, Lightfoot was bestowed the Governor General's Performing Arts Award, Canada's highest honor in the performing arts, and I think well deserved. On February 6, 2012, Lightfoot was also presented with the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal by the Lieutenant Governor of Ontario. June of that year saw his induction into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And on June 6, 2015, Lightfoot received an honorary doctorate of music in his hometown of Orillia from Lakehead University. So that's just a little bit more about our good old Canadian treasure, Gordon Lightfoot. So this song, Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, was inspired by the tragic sinking of the ore carrier Edmund Fitzgerald in Lake Superior. Gordon Lightfoot wrote Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to commemorate the 29 lives that were lost in the wreckage. The Fitzgerald had cleared Superior, Wisconsin on her last trip on November 9th in 1975 with a cargo of 26,116 tons of taconite pellets consigned to Detroit. Traveling down Lake Superior in company with Arthur M. Anderson of the United States Steel Corporation's Great Lakes Fleet, she encountered heavy weather and in the early evening of November 10th, suddenly foundered approximately 17 miles from the entrance of Whitefish Bay. Captain McSorley of the Fitzgerald had indicated he was having difficulty and was taking on water. She was listing to port and had two of three ballast pumps working. She had lost her radar and damage was noted to ballast tank vent pipes, and he was overheard on the radio saying, "Don't allow nobody on deck." McSorley said it was the worst storm he had ever seen. All 29 officers and crew, including a Great Lakes Maritime Academy cadet, went down with the ship, which lies broke in two sections in 530 feet of water. So let's have our first listen of Gordon Lightfoot's Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So that was our first listen of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot on By the Lyric. So there's not really too much analysis to do here. The song is a very beautiful song, and again, very calming, very wholesome, as I mentioned before, but it also has a very clear story to tell. I don't think there's too much digging to do here, but I think it'd be interesting to kind of look at exactly what Gordon is saying about this event. So the song doesn't really have the typical verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge type structure. It's kind of very cyclical, very repetitive. It has that one melody that you keep hearing over and over again with different words with each repetition. So we'll start with the first part, And the words of the first part go, "The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee." Lightfoot was inspired to write the classic folk song by a story that appeared in the November 24, 1975 edition of the news magazine Newsweek. Reporter James R. Gaines began the article with the following words: "According to a legend of the Chippewa tribe, the lake they once called Gitche-Gumee never gives up her dead. Native Ojibwe, who are also called the Chippewa, call Lake Superior Gitche-Gumee." Longfellow wrote it as Gitche-Gumee in his The Song of Hiawatha, which Gordon repeats here. And just for us to kind of get a sense of how The Song of Hiawatha goes, I'd like that to be what we listen to next. Right, welcome back. So that was The Song of Hiawatha, which inspired the very opening lines of Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So again, just to reiterate those opening lines, "The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they called Gitche-Gumee." For those of you that are just joining us, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald is obviously a song inspired by a shipwreck. The Edmund Fitzgerald was traveling on Lake Superior when it and its 29-man crew capsized, and it now lies in two pieces at the bottom of the lake under almost over 500 feet of water. So we can see similarities between The Song of Hiawatha and The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, very similar in approaches where the words are constantly changing, but it's one cyclical melody that is just repeated over and over. And it kind of, it's a very calming effect. The word that I used earlier for most of Lightfoot's work is wholesome. It just makes you feel very calm. And I think there's even a similar chords and pitches in there, and notes as well. So moving on with the rest of the words of the song, it's quite a little wordy here, so it does tell a great story though. So again, the opening lines are, "The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. The usual pattern for victims of drowning is for the body to sink and then resurface as gas produced by bacterial decomposition fills the hollow spaces. However, in cold water, this doesn't happen as the growth of these bacteria is inhibited by the low temperatures. The surface waters of Lake Superior stay well below 20 degrees year-round, while at depths the temperature seldom rises far above freezing. This leads to the legend of Superior never gives up her debt." The following lines go, "With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty." The Edmund Fitzgerald carried 26,116 long tons of taconite. Taconite is a sedimentary rock with about 10 to 20% of iron content. For centuries, the late U.S. had such an abundance of high-grade iron ore that taconite was considered a waste product. But by the end of World War II, much of that high-grade iron ore had been used, and taconite became the new source of iron, of the metal. The following lines are, "That good ship and crew was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early." This is a phrase also referred to as the Witches of November, used by Great Lakes sailors to refer to the peak storm season, which usually occurs in November. Storms during this time frame can be brutal, but also are marked by rapidly changing weather conditions, which can make it difficult to navigate the waters. "The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. The Fitzgerald was downbound or eastbound from the Burlington Northern Ore docks of Superior, Wisconsin. Ships would take tons of ore at specialty-made docks and transport them to mills farther down south on the lakes. At 729 feet, the Fitz was the longest ship on the Great Lakes at the time, known as the Queen of the Lakes. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. So the Edmund Fitzgerald was nicknamed the Big Fitz for a reason. When it was built, it was considered the Queen of the Lakes, a title reserved for the longest freighter active on the Great Lakes. Again, she was 729 feet and 3 inches long. With the crew and good captain well seasoned, Captain Ernest McSorley was 63 and on his final voyage, as he announced his retirement sometime earlier. And some of the crew were also well into their 40s, 50s, and 60s, so this wasn't a bunch of newbies. This was a well-seasoned crew that knew what they were doing. The following lines go, concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. The Edmund Fitzgerald was actually on her way to the steel mill on Zug Island, which is near Detroit. And the following lines go, and later that night, when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The Fitz left Superior, Wisconsin, eastbound on the afternoon of November 9, 1975. The weather forecast from the National Weather Service predicted that a storm would pass just south of Lake Superior by 7 a.m. on November 10th. The NWS updated its forecast at 7 p.m. on November 9th, issuing gale warnings for all of Lake Superior. The Fitz altered course northward, seeking shelter along the Ontario coast, but instead, they encountered a winter storm at 1 a.m. on the 10th of November. Ship Captain Ernest McSorley reported winds of 52 knots and waves of 10 feet. Shortly after 3:30 p.m. of the 10th of November, Captain McSorley reported that he was taking on water and had lost two vent covers and a fence railing. He said his ship had developed a list, and two of her six bilge pumps were running continuously. Shortly after 4:10 p.m., McSorley reported that he had suffered radar failure and asked another ship, the SS Arthur M. Anderson, to keep track of him. The Fitz was now listing and blind. At about 5 p.m., McSorley had a radio conversation with another ship, the SS Avafor, in which he reported the loss of both radars and a heavy list. At 7 p.m., the Anderson radioed the Fitz to check in and report a radar target ahead of the Fitz, another ship was going west. McSorley told Anderson the Fitz was holding its own. At 7:20 p.m., Edmund Fitzgerald disappears from the radar of the Anderson. This is the presumed time of the sinking. Horizon of blue, hills of rose. All right, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed a little bit of a bluesy, folksy music. So again, for those of you that are just joining us, we are looking at Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which is the story about the capsizing of the Fitzgerald and the loss of her 29-man crew. So, we have gotten through a few parts of the song, and this is what comes next. The wind in the wires made a tattletale sound, and a wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. Like other animals who sense weather approaching, Lightfoot describes the cues seamen get from their environment. The first warning for the crew of the Fitz was a peculiar sound frequency in the ringing wires. The next part goes, the dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed ya. At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know ya. Here, Lightfoot gives an imagined crew emotions during the storm through the cook's comments. In 2010, Lightfoot changed the line of the song. At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. He changed to, At 7 p.m., it grew dark. It was then, he said, after studies found that it was the waves and not crew error that caused the wreck. Lightfoot said he was happy the crew was finally absolved. The next lines go, the captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. And later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The crew of the SS Edmund Fitzgerald were caught in one of the worst storms ever seen on Lake Superior. It came up so fast and so hard, they never had a chance. Late in the afternoon of November 10th, sustained winds were reported at over 90 miles per hour and waves were reported at over 35 feet, which is more than the figures that we initially heard. The last communication from the Fitz came at 7 p.m. on the 10th of November 1975. When asked how they were doing, Captain Ernest McSorley said, "We are holding our own." She went down just minutes later. No distress signal was received, suggesting the AIM kent in a final giant wave. The next lines go, does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Does anyone know why something bad happens, it seems like it lasts forever? And when good things happen, it seems really short? This sense of time dilation is common during life-threatening situations, but in this case, the crew actually had to endure the terror for some 16 hours before the end came, which doesn't sound like a good way to go. The next lines are, the searches all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. The shipwreck was discovered 20 miles west of Whitefish Bay on Michigan's Upper Peninsula. For a time, it seemed like the Fitz might make it to safety. At 4:39 p.m. on the 10th of November, Captain McSorley radioed to inquire whether the Whitefish Point light and navigation beacon were operational. But sometime after 5:30, McSorley reported that he had a bad list and was taking on heavy seas. The Whitefish Point Museum, which is on the same property as a lighthouse, showcases many famous shipwrecks that have happened on Lake Superior, including the Edmund Fitzgerald. The ship's bell has since been recovered from the shipwreck and is on display in the museum if anyone is interested in seeing that. The following lines are, they might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. At the time the song was written, the exact cause of the Fitzgerald sinking was unknown. It was discovered much later that it was the high winds and incredible waves that did her in. As a result, Lightfoot changed the lyrics in 2010 to reflect the exoneration of the crew. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings, in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. In this verse and the next, Lightfoot recounts the character of each of the Great Lakes. It's a poetic summary and one that builds the reputation of Superior as the Wicked Witch of the North, with imagery like rooms of her ice water mansion. The next lines are, and farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. And the iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Lake Ontario is actually hydrologically lower than Lake Erie and is fed through the Niagara River, literally taking in what Erie discharges through that river. Next goes, in a musty old hall in Detroit they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. Reference to the Mariner's Church, is it Mariner or Mariner? Reference to the Mariner's Church of Detroit. After visiting the church, Gordon started changing the word musty to rustic during live performances as it more accurately reflects the interior of the church. And then the last part of the song is, the legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche Gumee.
Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early. So this is very similar to the first verse of the song. It's kind of the closing parentheses of the story, the end quotation of what Gordon is telling us about. The usual pattern, again, for victims of drowning is for the body to sink and then resurface as gas produced by bacterial decomposition fills the hollow spaces. However, in cold water, this doesn't happen as the growth of these bacteria is inhibited by the low temperatures. The surface waters of Lake Superior stay well below 20 degrees year-round, while at depths, the temperature seldom rises far above freezing. So the legend is true. Superior never gives up her dead. So here is our last listen of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. All right, well, that was everything for By the Lyric today. Again, we looked at The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot. I hope you enjoyed that little story. It was a little bit more calm and surface level today than other episodes. If you have any suggestions of songs that you think would be interesting for me to do some research on and talk about on the show, don't forget to send us a message on Twitter, I guess, at Radio Laurier, or send us a message on Instagram, again, at Radio Laurier. My name is Lisa. This was By the Lyric, and I am on every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. And I wish everyone a nice weekend and a happy reading week.